Today is St. Patrick's Day. Of course, I know that the Philippines does not observe it, but it is observed and celebrated big time around the world wherever there is a significant Irish population. St. Patrick is considered a hero to some, a patron saint of Ireland. The title saint, let me explain, does not come from the canonization of the Roman Catholic Church. He was not canonized. Rather, because of his saintly life, Irish people attached this title to him, and so since then, he was called St. Patrick. The story of Patrick was very colorful. He was kidnapped at a young age and raised by an Irish farmer, and during his captivity, he was converted to Christ. At age 22, he made a daring escape and went back to his real family. But after several years, the Lord has put in his heart to go back to his captors and proclaim to them the message of the gospel. And that is what he did. He became a missionary, and he is credited to have planted 200 churches in Ireland. One quotation attributed to him is this. He said, "It is very much becomes us to stretch our nets that we may take for God a copious and crowded multitude." He died on March 17, year 461. And today he is celebrated by Irish people by wearing shamrocks, green clothing and green accessories that really has no meaning. But the story, I think, should be something that resonates with us, especially today. We will have our own St. Patrick's Day by commissioning our first missionary to foreign land. The Lord has put in the heart of Brother Mark Aksay and his wife Jen the desire to serve in the borders of Thailand and Myanmar, seek the conversion of sinners. And as the Lord blesses the work, they will plant churches. They will be leaving soon, next month, in order to study language in Bangkok, and for whatever length of time that may take, but they will soon be with the people in the borders of Thailand and Myanmar and seek to preach the gospel to them. It will be a big sacrifice for them, leaving the comfort of their country and their loved ones and be in a strange place. It is a big step of sacrifice for us as a church, taking the responsibility of a sending church. Saan man natin tingnan ay tumatawag, humahamon ng sakripisyo sa ating missionaryong pamilya na iiwanan ang kanilang mga mahal sa buhay, ang kanilang bansa, upang mangaral ng ebanghelyo sa mga taong hindi nila kilala. Malaking sakripisyo para sa ating iglesia, at hinahamon tayo sa sakripisyo ng pakikiisa, ng pananalangin, ng pagbibigay, at sa marami pang paraan. It is a responsibility thrust upon us by the providence of God. We accept it as a privilege and a duty, and one thing we can do today is let us learn from the New Testament what it entails to be a sending church of a missionary. Ano ba ang maging isang iglesyang magsusugo ng misyoneryo? And fortunately, we do have a model in the New Testament, in the Church of Antioch, and the first missionaries to the Gentiles, namely Paul and Barnabas. And I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me to two passages. Acts 13, verses 1 to 5, the first part of verse 5. And then we will jump to Acts 14, 24 to 28. So the first is Acts 13, verses 1 to the first part of verse 5. "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, after fasting and praying, they had laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. In verse 5, first part, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God. From there, please jump to Acts 14, and we'll read verses 24 to 28. Acts 14, 24 to 28. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And there remained no little time with the disciples. Now, these two passages form the opening and closing brackets of what is known as the first missionary journey. Ito ang umpisa at ito ang pagtatapos ng unang missionaryong paglalakbay ni Pablo kasama si Barnabas. And we can see how it began, we can see how the mission concluded, and it is a model for other sending churches like us. This is a significant development in Luke's plot in the book of Acts. Remember that Luke followed the outline of the commission given in the version of the book of Acts, that the gospel is to be preached beginning in Jerusalem, then to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And every critical stage of the book of Acts follows that outline, beginning with Jerusalem, and then how it expanded to the province of Judea, and then by chapter 12, you have, or chapter 8, you have Samaria, and then later on, you have the Gentiles being converted in Acts chapter 10. But this time in Acts chapter 13, we have the first deliberate plan by a church that the gospel must be sent to the Gentiles and further afield of the church. This is a model for us. And what happened with the Antioch church is a church being spoken to by the Holy Spirit and then responding by sending two of their own for the work of mission. Now think of that. How many times do you read in the whole Bible the Holy Spirit said? That the Holy Spirit spoke. This is a very rare occurrence. Now, how that happened is immaterial. Whether He actually spoke vocally or more probably prophetically, that is why Luke says there were many prophets in the church of Antioch. But whether vocally or prophetically is immaterial, the point is that this must be a very important stage in the life of the church for the cause of Christ. The Holy Spirit is active, yet He uses a church in order to advance the gospel. My message for this commissioning service is a missionary sending church is the agent of the Holy Spirit for the cause of the gospel. Ang iglesyang nagsusugo ng misyoneryo ay kasangkapan ng banal na espiritu para sa simulain ng ebanghelyo. A missionary sending church is the agent of the Holy Spirit for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the gospel. Now, the conviction of Brother Mark to go to the mission field was years in the making and years of preparing. For our part, we can say that this was suddenly thrust upon us by a domino of events. We do not have years of preparation. Well, I hope I could say that the church has all these years been concerned about the gospel. Every prayer meeting, we pray for a nation in the world in our desire that the gospel spread internationally. But as a deliberate plan of sending a missionary, this is suddenly thrust upon us. And therefore, we intend to know what kind of church it is that the Holy Spirit is pleased to use for the gospel mission. What kind of church was Antioch so that the Holy Spirit spoke to it and through it sent missionaries further afield? I have three characteristics of a sending church. First is interceding church, iglesyang namamagitan sa panalangin. Interceding church. Secondly, sacrificing church, iglesyang nagsasakripisyo. And thirdly, rejoicing church, iglesyang nagagalak sa ebanghelyo. So three things that we aspire to be as we are now tasked to send our missionary. The first thing is we must be an interceding church. Now, the Holy Spirit said to the church, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I call them. But we must not miss the context in which the Holy Spirit spoke. What was the church doing? They were not waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak. They did not have some special session that claims to have the Spirit speaking to them. They were doing their ordinary task. And what was that ordinary task? They were worshiping and praying intensely. Fasting is a form of intense praying. So in the context of a regular activity of worshiping the Lord and praying, then the Holy Spirit spoke and gave them the conviction that Barnabas and Saul must be sent. And that is the kind of church that will be a sending church for a missionary. Later, when they had to send them by laying on of hands, we are told they prayed. So prayer is the context in which a church will be a sending church for a missionary. Gospel mission begins with and is sustained by the praying intercession of the church. Ang misyon ay nagsisimula sa at tinutustusan ng panalangin ng iglesia. Luke is very emphatic on this, in fact, in the book of Acts. He uses the word pray and its family of words like praying, prayed, etc. He used it no less than 30 times in the book of Acts. Acts is a book about prayer. It is a book about praying churches. And that's what we ought to be. If we will be responsible for our missionary, if we will send him with a full confidence that God will bless the work, then we must be a praying church. You see this in the book of Acts. Before the Pentecost, where were the brethren? In the upper room praying. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them at the first baptism, again, the description of the church, among other things, is that they were praying. During an intense persecution in Acts 4, when the Sanhedrin let its wrath fall upon the young church, what did they do in response? They were praying. When they needed to select the first set of deacons, again, what did the church do? They were praying. I can cite more and more, but I hope you get the drift. The picture of a church that is prayerful. And in the context of a praying church, the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, Antioch, you may think, well, they have Paul, it must be a great church. Antioch was 300 miles north of Jerusalem. That's about 500 kilometers. They did not have any of the 12 apostles. At that time, at this point, the 12 were the pillars of the church. They did not have the pillars of the church. Yet, whatever they lacked, they more than made up for by praying. And that is the challenge to us, brethren. Many depend on their good organization, an abundance of logistics and supply. We don't have those. But what we do not have, let us make up for by intense praying. It is not logistics that sustains mission work. It is not great organization. It is a church that depends upon the blessing of God. I recently had my car's transmission fluid changed because there are periods when it just won't move, no matter how you break, you step on the accelerator. And when the transmission fluid was drained from its reservoir, it was so watery and thin. No more bite, no viscosity. And to me, that explained it. There's no more fluid oil that is sustaining the engine. And prayer is like that. If your prayer is now so watery and thin, perhaps just a routine, no intense seeking of the Lord's blessing upon His work. Perhaps you pray for blessing upon yourself and family. But what about the work of God? What about the cause of the gospel? And that is the kind of church that will be used to be a sending church. So I challenge each one of you, let us, as the sending church, commit ourselves to earnest praying for our missionary family. From now on, we will include our missionary family and their mission in our importunate list of prayer in our prayer meeting. And let the members have such regard for the prayer meeting of the church, because through this we connect to the mission field. But not only in the prayer meeting, we commit ourselves to pray for our missionary as individuals and as families. Most of us will not have the opportunity to actually visit the mission field. Later in May, my wife and I will be going to Bangkok and we'll hope to have fellowship with Brother Mark and family. But not all of us will have that opportunity. But do you know how you connect to the work without being there present personally? By prayer. Apostle Paul esteems the prayer of churches intensely. Listen to him in Romans 15, 30 and 31. I appeal to you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Look at his language. By your prayers, you people there in Rome, you are many miles from me, but by praying, you are striving with me. You are exerting effort with me in this cause of the gospel. Paul esteems the prayers of the brethren. And so should we. It has an energy that helps in the work. And that is how mission begins. That is how mission is sustained. In 1810, a group of students of Andover Theological Seminary was stranded in a haystack during a storm. And they used the time that they were stranded for prayer, especially prayer for the advance of the gospel. And the result of that prayer group was to form a missionary society, and its first missionary was Adoniram Judson to Burma, which is today's Myanmar. The result of prayer, sustained by prayer. And we are sending a missionary to Myanmar, between Thailand and Myanmar. An original mission there began in prayer. We can do no less. Ascending church must be an interceding church. Secondly, ascending church must be a sacrificing church. Now, the missionaries in our text, Paul and Barnabas, are said to have been sent by the church in verse 4, and then in verse 5, sent by the Holy Spirit. There's no contradiction. And actually, two different Greek words are used to speak of the sending by the church and the sending by the Holy Spirit. The sending by the Holy Spirit is the more formal sense, sending to a duty, sending to a work. The word used for the sending of the church has the sense of releasing. It has the sense of letting go. Whereas the sending by the Holy Spirit means duty, the sending by the church means they were losing something in order for others to gain. The idea is sacrifice. I'm sure they would have wanted Paul and Barnabas to remain in Antioch. With all the gifts that these two individuals possessed, they would have wanted them to remain in Antioch, but missions beckon, and they let loose these two. The very sending was an act of sacrifice. And sending a missionary entails and demands sacrifices for the sake of gospel mission. The act of the Antioch church of releasing Barnabas and Saul suggests losing something valuable for them. And that this is what is demanded of a sending church. We release what is of value, our missionary. And from releasing our missionary subsequently, we will be required to release more valuable things. Sacrifice in order to sustain the work of mission. Sometimes this is difficult to sustain. We heard this morning about donors' fatigue. When the previous commitment is not sustained, and we need to watch this. The sacrifice of a church to sustain missionary work, again, from the perspective of Paul, is a special act of sacrifice, which he compared to the sweet-smelling aroma of Mosaic sacrifice, which the Lord accepts. Listen to him in Philippians 4:15 and following. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. He uses sacrifice language in the tabernacle and temple. Of course, it's not a burnt sacrifice, but it is something which is pleasing to God nonetheless. We will do that as a church, but what we can do as a church is not enough. It is calling for individual sacrifices in order to sustain mission. You know, in chess, a sacrifice is when a player offers a high rank material in order to gain either positional advantage or a winning line. And he must be willing to make that sacrifice, which appears foolish to sacrifice a high rank material, but the point is for a better fruit. That's what we are called to do. Maybe as a church. Definitely as a church. And definitely as individuals. So let us challenge ourselves. Let us, as the sending church, have our share of sacrifice for the gospel mission. There is a kind of giving that has no sacrifice in it. We learned that when we had our series recently of the widow's mite. While the wealthy were giving big money, yet there was no sacrifice in them. Unlike the widow's mite, which was small, but to her, a sacrifice. If all Christians give without sacrifice, no mission will survive. Mission is sustained by sacrifice. And our missionary family, I'm sure, will go through periods of needs and scarcity, which is an effective tool of doubt in the hands of the enemy. Let them know that their sending church does not forget them. We will sacrifice for the gospel. I have had two students from Myanmar who have graduated since. One is now a rural pastor. The second is now a Bible college president in Yangon. They sacrificed as much as GMA sacrificed for their sustenance and study, and it is bearing fruit. And I now have another student who is in his second year from Myanmar, and we hope that he will make the sacrifices as much as we are prepared to sacrifice to bring the gospel further afield. Let us be a sacrificing church. And finally, let us be a rejoicing church. After a round of missionary work, scholars estimate to be about 2 years, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, and they reported, and they gathered the whole church. That act shows that this is church concern. This is not just the concern of the pastors of the church or the leaders of the church. The whole church gathered. They eagerly heard the report of how God opened doors to the Gentiles, and they rejoiced. The joy of mission is in the fruit of the gospel, salvation of sinners, and planting of churches. And if you read between our two passages, what happened after in chapter 13 and in chapter 14, they went through many places. They preached the gospel, had conversions, and planting of churches. That is what we expect our brother Mark and family will be doing. And it takes a church that rejoices in the salvation of sinners to send missionaries and sustain that mission. We will never see, most of us will never see the people who will be the fruit of the work of mission. It should be enough for us to hear the report that sinners are being saved and churches are being formed. And we rejoice in that. That is the challenge to us. Let us, as the sending church, refresh our joyful confidence in the gospel to save. We are not sending a superman or a super couple into the mission field. They have their own human and sinful nature that will be tested to the edge. But they have with them the gospel that has been saving sinners in every generation since the New Testament. And it is time for us, even on this occasion, to recall what sort of sinners we are and how God in grace reached out to us and saved us. Did we not rejoice? Was that not the most meaningful turning point of our lives? If anyone here does not know that yet, the most important turning point of your life is from a life of sin and then realize that there is a Lord, there is a Savior who died in order that you may be saved. Come to Him and know the joy of salvation. And there will be no end refreshing the joy of salvation. But it includes with it the duty, the mandate of seeking sinners to be saved. There's an instructive point in the detail of the first missionary journey. The very first place they visited after Seleucia, which was the port of Antioch, so it's still part of Antioch, the first place where they preached the gospel was Cyprus. What's the significance of Cyprus? It was the birthplace and home of Barnabas. What does that mean? The first concern was for family. The first concern was for loved ones. The first concern was for those who we love and are dear to us. You do not have to go to Myanmar or Thailand. Right there in your home, perhaps, are sinners needing to hear the witness of the gospel. The people of the land where our missionary is to set foot are immersed in Buddhism. As I've said this morning, it is a teaching that has no hope, that tells you you will go through various cycles of life of reincarnation. And we are telling them, no, there is eternal life in Jesus Christ. But whatever the darkness, whatever the fallenness of culture, the gospel is powerful to save. And we do not know what act that we do today is going to reverberate in the next generations, long after you and I are gone. I met a Burmese Christian many years ago in a special service. And when we talked, I was thrilled and delighted to discover he was using the Bible in Burmese, translated by Adoniram Judson of the 19th century. Generations later, after Adoniram Judson, missionary to Burma, translated the Bible, generations are still using it. He suffered much. You read his life in Burma, it is a life of horrific suffering. But it bore fruit. And today, there are Christians in Burma because somebody took the first step. And our brother Mark will be going there. He is not the first to go there, but because of the sacrifice of some in the past, we have a work that we can confidently believe will bear fruit, because the gospel of Adoniram Judson will be the gospel our brother will bring. And the gospel of Adoniram Judson goes back, long, long back, to the gospel of Paul and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the Holy Spirit has spoken. Our church is ready to obey. We will send our missionary. And at this point, I will ask our brother Mark to come here to the platform as we will do the laying on of the hands. I would like to call my fellow pastors, Pastor Fidel of Puritan Reformed Baptist Church of Lumban and Pastor Rodel of Trinity Bible Church of San Pablo, as well as our deacons.
Sa puntong ito, gagaya ng ginawa sa Antioch, they laid their hands on them and sent them. We will lay our hands on Brother Mark, at hinihiling ko ang lahat na tumayo, at hilingin ko si Pastor Rodel na mangpangunahan tayo sa panalangin.
Tayo manalangin, mga kapatid. O Panginoon namin Diyos, kayo po ang nag-utos to make disciples of all nations. Kayo po ang nag-encourage sa amin that all power has been given to you in heaven and on earth. At dahil sa kapangyarihan na ito, Panginoon, kami umaasa sa tagumpay ng gawaing ito. Hindi dahil sa aming lakas, kundi dahil sa lakas na nasa aming Panginoong Jesus. Panginoon, how we are privileged to be able to send a brother sa mission field. Ito po ang inyong inutos, Panginoon, at sa pagtupad nito, there's joy in our hearts. Panginoon, pinupuri namin ang inyong pangalan dahil una sa lahat, tumitingala kami sa soberanong Diyos. Soberanong tagapagligtas. Tagapagligtas na puno ng kapangyarihan. Kaya nawa, Panginoon, una sa lahat, punuin niyo ang aming mga puso ng papuri at pasasalamat. What a glorious day this is because of you, not because of us. Subalit, salamat, Panginoon, ang mga makasalanan tulad namin na inyong ginagamit para sa gawaing ito. At ngayon, Panginoon, in our littleness, in our sinfulness, Lord, we plead with you na kayong gumamit ngayon sa aming kapatid, kay Brother Mark Aksay, ganun din sa kanyang buong pamilya as they embark on this journey. At gaya po ng aming narinig, nangyari kay Adoniram Judson, ito'y hindi madali, puno ng pagsubok, ang kaaway, hahadlangan ito. And Lord, our hope is only in you. Kaya amin pong tinatagubilin siya sa inyo at sa lakas na nanggagaling sa inyo. We plead for him sa gitna ng maaaring mga pagsubok, sa gitna ng maaaring kalungkutan, sa gitna ng mga iba't ibang uri ng tukso. Lord, we pray na kayo po ang sasama sa kanya, palagi niyang siyang titingin sa inyo and the unsearchable riches of Christ habang kanyang sinisikap na dalhin ito sa mga tribo o sa mga katutubo doon po sa border ng Thailand at Myanmar. Lord, we pray not only for him but for his wife and children. Sila rin, Panginoon, ay maaaring dumanas ng mga pagsubok, kagaya rin ng naranasan ng mga naging asawa ni Adoniram Judson. Kaya, Panginoon, bigyan niyo rin siya ng wisdom, ng pasensya, ng banal na buhay upang makatulong niya at makatuwang sa gawaing ito. And Lord, we pray for the church here at the Grace Baptist Church. Gaya po din ng aming narinig, isang malaking responsibility ang magpadala ng isang misyonaryo. Yeah, Lord, we pray that this church, the GBC, will be a praying church, a church na lalapit sa inyo in earnestness at hindi malilimutan ang gawain doon. We pray, Lord, na ang church na ito will be willing to sacrifice gaya ng kailangan upang i-sustain ang gawain ito. And Lord, we pray that there will be joy in their hearts tuwing aalalahanin ang malapakahalagang gawain po na ito. Lord, we just commit to you all these things, Panginoon, ang aming pong kapatid sa paghayo, sa pag-aaral, sa biyahe. Give them your traveling mercies. Nawa magkaroon sila ng mga tamang contacts doon, natutulong sa kanila. Panginoon, sa lahat ng ito, kayo po ang sumakanila. And we just again pray and plead that your grace will be upon them. Again, O Lord, salamat sa ganito pong laking privilege na inyong binigay. And we just commit to you, our brother Mark, sa kanyang napakahalagang gawain ito para sa inyong kaharian. At ito po ang aming mga samo at dalangin ng may pasasalamat at kagalakan sa pangalan po lamang ng aming Panginoong Jesus. Amen.
Makakaupo po ang lahat. At this point, I will call Brother Mark to give his response and statement of commitment. Do not preach. But we would love to hear from our brother and missionary.
Magandang hapon po sa kanyang lahat. And actually right now, I'm trembling because of the sanctity of God's calling to us, but also rejoicing because of the privilege that for so many people that He can call there in the borders, He chose me and He counted me faithful, putting me into this kind of ministry of evangelism, bringing the gospel po sa borders. Therefore, church, is with all humility and all gladness in my heart, and together with my wife and my child, with my family, we accept the commissioning, the sending of our church, as well as rest assured of our commitment. The commitment that first to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the harvest. And also, I know that you have been praying for a long time for many nations, and the Lord indeed has sent you a laborer in our church, and here we are. We are committing ourselves to this ministry that God has entrusted to us, doon po sa borders of Thailand and Myanmar. Again, as I always say, please continue to pray for us, because the power of the gospel does not rest in weak men like us. It rests on the power of God alone to save. May the Lord bless us, and all be the glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen.
For our own response, we will now sing our last hymn, Go Labor On. And this is a very fit reminder as well as encouragement sa ating missionaryo, Toil On. The last verse says, Toil on, and in thy toil rejoice, for toil comes rest, for exile home. And may we continue to pray indeed that our missionary family will be given all the graces in their toil. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos at mapagbiyayang Ama, ginampanan namin ang mulit-muli ay ginagampanan ng mga iglesia simula pa ng panahon ng Antioch na magsugo ng kanilang misyoneryo. At ngayon ay ginawa namin ito, and we are indeed a blessed church, and at the same time, an unworthy church. And yet, out of the bounty of your grace, you have chosen us to do this task. And we pray, O Lord, that we may not fail by your grace in doing the duties of ascending church that we see in Antioch, to be a praying, interceding church. For what sustains mission is not human logistics, not great organizations, not monetary supply. The first thing that sustains mission is your grace and bountiful blessing upon the gospel. And you have ordained that for those blessings, your people should pray and plead. And thus we cast ourselves upon you. Make of us a praying church. And help us, Lord, like the church in Antioch, in their act of releasing Barnabas and Paul, they did an act of sacrifice. And we pray that we may not fail in doing the same. For the work of mission will be a challenge. And our desire and attempt to share in it in spiritual and practical ways is a sweet-smelling aroma of sacrifice to you. So grant, O Lord, that we may have such commitment as a church and make us a church that rejoices in the report of conversion of sinners and the planting of churches. We thank you, Lord, indeed, that the same gospel preached by Paul and Barnabas that saw the conversion of sinners, planting of churches, that same gospel preached by Adoniram Judson and so many conversion and churches planted in Burma is now the same gospel that our brother Mark Aksai will be bringing to the borders of Thailand and Myanmar. And that same gospel that has been saving sinners for generations will still save sinners today. We pray that even today, those who heard, who are yet outside the pale of your grace, may be saved. And we pray that we may be a faithful church under your grace to keep sustaining the work of mission so that sinners may be saved. So use us and use us, Lord, for your glory and for the advance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.